across the water there, and he's going to give us a little talk and show us a tape and maybe do a little preaching to us. Come on, my brother.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I was listening to that song, I Come to the Garden Alone. And I heard a story about an opera singer was singing this song in Calvary Baptist Church in New York City. And he got up and he said, I come to the garden alone. And his mind went blank. And he said, where the deer and the antelope play. And I just, every time I hear that song, I think about that. And it's comical, you know. And but praise the Lord, what God does. And yeah, I sort of feel like the monkey that kissed the skunk. He didn't get all he wanted, but he got all he could stand. So, but I'm excited and blessed about what God is doing, what God has done in our ministry. I'm going to be sharing with you in a few minutes the video. Now, normally I would have pictures of kids, and I use those pictures where they make you cry and stuff like that, but this isn't it. This is a little different, this one. I wanted you to see what the services were like, not all over, but a few of the services and the people singing and the different things that go on in the services. You'll see people that may not look like they're dressed to be singing specials and stuff, but this is the only clothes they have. There's one picture that you'll see of a lady sitting. We went up into the mountains, and we were in her house with a little overhang. And you'll see, you could tell that she has lost her sight. She lost her sight because Pol Pot, during the Khmer Rouge in the 70s, plucked her eyes out because she wore glasses. That was what she did wrong. And but she doesn't let it stop her spirit. And you could see her singing, and she was just about leading the singing in most cases. But anyway, I wanted to point that out to you so you're aware of what is going on over there. And I'll be sharing with you after I give you a report on what we've done and the miracle. This was a literal miracle. When I first left, I thought, maybe this might be my last trip. And then God said, oh no. No, you got through too easy. You could go another one. And I have a grandson in Texas that is praying at this time about coming and working with us and stepping in with the ministry. Right now he's visiting his brother, one of our missionaries in Ecuador. But I'm really excited about the possibility, and if that's what God wants to do, I'm ready. Amen. I'm ready. So, brother, you want to turn those that pictures on?
He did it.
How about the sound? Anybody up there? This kills it. Yeah.
It gets the sound up if haven't restarted.
Yeah. I need to talk. What is that going to do? Are you going to be able to get the sound on? Okay. All right. Let me go on a little further. I'll start to talk about the trip. I got some notes here, so I can keep going. Let's start from the beginning, brother, if you don't mind. And louder.
Oh, God, so good.
Amen. If you didn't know, that was Janud on the motorcycle. She's one of heaven's angels, not the hell's angels, but she was pulling out of the parking lot, and I said, I'm going to get a ride in the motorcycle, and she loves this church, and Kim loves this church, and they're praying that they can come back and visit, and if I can help them in any way, I'm going to do it. Because what a blessing they are to me over there. Kim is starting a school. School starts in August, and she's hiring people and setting up classes, and everything she learned here, she's putting into practice there. And Janut is teaching at a Christian school until she can get things settled for herself to have another school. And she is teaching 5 separate classes in the school, elementary, high school, right on different classes. And what an exciting thing. Now, we started out at a graduation in Burma. We had 27 students graduate. And some of these kids came out of our orphanage, came as little babies in our orphanage and grew up and went through a school, went through our Bible school, and then on into the college in Burma. But at the anniversary, and I know you heard this report on anniversary Sunday, but we had 88 saved that day. And that was the beginning, because we had a mix-up with the date, because it changed from the last Sunday in January to February. So I told the people, and now we're going to change it to February. So some got the message, some didn't. You know, I guess it was my not being able to speak their language. But anyway, so we had anniversary over a few day period. But we did have on anniversary day, the same as here, we had the 88 saved, 32 baptisms. You talk about getting tired. Baptizing 32 people. There were 15 churches involved. In Burma, we had over 300 people in attendance, and in Cambodia, 561. But God really blessed. Now, that was the beginning. Then we went into Cambodia. And when I got to Cambodia, there was just, it looked like I was going to have an open schedule. And I told them I need Mondays off. I got to have Mondays off, otherwise I'm going to fall apart. And I know what my limits are, and I determined that Monday would be the day. After preaching in three, sometimes four churches on a Sunday, and then I needed Monday just to get my head together. Well, I preached in 32 churches in Cambodia. And so it was actually 37 all told with the two countries. There were four people saved at New Life Baptist Church, 20 at Harvesters Baptist Church, 17 at Landmark Baptist HIV Center, 11 saved in Vietnam, three churches there. 33 saved at a trip. We made 4-hour trip to get up into the province, and it was really a rural area. And we had 33 people. Most visitors came in, got saved, and it was just tremendous. We had an anniversary service where 26 were saved. 26 were saved. 16 of them were adults. We had an additional 88 saved at the anniversary, the big anniversary service in Cambodia. So it was 88 in Burma and 88 there. It's strange how that same number came up. We had four at a mission conference. Then I got a call from the anniversary service. This man came as a visitor to the anniversary service, and he said, "Could you come? I know that you're teaching prophecy in the Bible school. Can you come and teach our people?" I said, "Boy," I said, I got 3 days lessons. I'm not going to be able to do it in one day." He said, "Well, do all you can in one day." So we started out at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we never took breaks until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And after a while, my legs started going like this. I was wobbling, holding on, you know. Good thing there was a big, strong pulpit. But anyway, we took a break, and then we went back to it. And about almost 9 o'clock at night, we finished all the lessons. And that was that big group that they showed them praying. But there were 40 pastors from all over the country. Not people that we work with, but new pastors from all over the country that came to this meeting, plus about 20 or 30 of their workers that were there at this meeting. And it was just unbelievable how God really worked. At Landmark Baptist Church service, we had another 8 saved. At the school dedicating the school, we had 9 parents get saved at the school. I went to a man said to me, "I got a place that you can preach. These people need to meet you and know who you are." And we went there through the alleys, and I'm looking around. I see coffins, the cement coffins. And I'm looking around. I said, "Are we in a graveyard?" And he says, "Well, yeah, it used to be a graveyard." He says, "People living here now, they're living in between the graves. Some of them are actually eating their meals on the top of someone's grave." I couldn't believe it. But anyway, these people were so poor, and the government said, "If you want to move in there, you can go ahead and do it." And they built these little metal shacks at the graveyard. And unbelievable, at the graveyard, 5 people got saved. So we turned death into life there. We had a medical outreach. With the medical outreach, we had a lady that helped me and gave me $1,000 for the medications. And we went way up in the, there was mountains and palm trees and dirt roads, and took us forever to get there. And we had this medical outreach. Now, it may seem odd to do this, because here we are, the orphanage ministry, but God's opened so many doors for us. Now, at the medical outreach, first of all, I shared with a simple, basic salvation message. And people raised their hands from all over the place. We had a big tent set up, and they were raising their hands, and I said, we couldn't even count them. There were so many, it seemed like. Well, what we did was they got a little number, a card with a number on it, and they went from the tent one at a time, went to the blood pressure table, and there were four of us there doing blood work, blood pressure, and I could do that, you know, because it's, I could read the screen, you know. But anyway, so we did, had four people doing blood work, and the first question we asked the people when they sat down at the table, did you make a decision today? And if they said yes, I asked, tell me what you did. And then they said, Jesus, my heart, I'm going to heaven. This is basically what they were saying. And so they went from the table, the blood pressure table, went over to the eyeglass doctor, and the eyeglass doctor is married to the medical doctor, and they're a team together. And the first thing she asked was, did you make a decision today? Yes, I did. Tell me what you did. And went through it again. So these people were, they were asked two times, and then they went to the doctor. We had two doctors, two physicians, and each one of the physicians are saved, serving God, and love the Lord, and they were asking, did you make a decision today? The same questions all through. And if they said they weren't sure, they opened up their Bible before they did anything else and went through the plan of salvation with them. So then they went from the doctors over to the pharmacy table. We had three or four tables there, the pharmacy table. And the pharmacist said, did you make a decision today? And they go, oh, yes, oh, yes. He asked me, she asked me, you know. And they were so excited that they were saved. And so here they were. They had four chances to be able to give a testimony the first day they got saved. What a blessing! But I hopefully you saw the blind lady in the video. She did stand out a little bit. But during our services in Cambodia, not counting was in the 88 in Burma, we had 236 saved in all of these services. And God just amazingly blessed us in so many ways. It seems like it wasn't the plan that we had to begin with 25 years ago. And when Linda and I prayed about going off to Burma, we didn't know what it was going to be. We didn't know how, until I got to the place where the orphan, we bought the building. When I got there and I met these kids, they broke my heart, and I said, I know exactly where I'm supposed to be. And from that one on, we ended up with, there's 13 orphanages. We have 15 official churches, and we have a whole bunch of chapels all over the country. And it's amazing. The students that graduated from our Bible school are getting ready to start churches in the various parts of the country where there are no churches now. So it's been my desire to serve God, and who would have thought a kid from the Bronx would be able to go off into these countries and be able to share the gospel with people? I have to use an interpreter because I'm too old to learn English, let alone anything else. So I'm blessed. We're blessed, and you are blessed, because we're talking 236 saved. These are your converts. These are part your ministry. This is your mission. When you put money into missions, this is where it's going. And we're seeing souls saved there. And I'm afraid about Vietnam because I was told not to say anything about it, but I'm going to do it anyway. We made a wrong turn, and we ended up in Vietnam. And worse than that, we made a U-turn, and Vietnam wouldn't let us in. And we tried to get back into Cambodia, and they go, your visa's expired. You used it when you came in. I said, what am I going to do, you know? So anyway, fortunately, one of the men with me is an excellency. He's one of the higher ups in the country. He was appointed as an excellency. So he went over there and hollered at him, you know, and finally they said, okay. And I had my passport, my visa, but it wasn't going to do me any good. But we were supposed to go into Vietnam in another place. So we went out, drove down a little ways, and snuck back into the country where we had the services there. They were using a building that at one time was like a community center or something, and so we were using that for one service, and then went to different services, and they were mainly in people's homes. But we were able to preach the gospel and sing and get the blessing. In Dubai, I'm jumping to something else. We had a group to get together in Dubai to have services there in Dubai, but we lost the building that we had. So we got a room to have a service in. And while we were there, we were singing and having a good old time. Everybody's different languages. They were from Africa and India, all the people, they're all different nationalities, like the UN, you know, and they're all singing, the tune was right, but who knew what the words were, you know, but anyway, the hotel said we can't do it anymore because the people were complaining about the singing. It's a Muslim country, and they sure didn't really want us there to begin with, but we've been honored, we've been blessed, and we've seen great things. Now, when I'm in a church at a mission conference or a meeting there, people ask me different questions. And to save time and not to go through it, I got a couple of questions. The first thing that people usually ask, they say, didn't you have a heart attack? Yes, I did. And I tell them, there's a Bible verse that I follow. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Believe not unto our own understanding. And this scripture makes it clear. And we're settled. And we don't lean on what we know. We don't lean on our own understanding. But we lean on the Lord and trust God to keep the old ticker going. You know, I got enough medication to keep it going. But the fact is that this is one of the questions people ask. And then they'll say, how do you do it? Well, we do it day by day. I get on the plane and I go. And we've even seen people get saved on the planes. And they'll say, another thing, the airline in Cambodia, when I went to get on the plane, they said, sir, you're too old to go. I said, well, if I can't go, that's where I live. I'm going home, you know. And they say, oh, no, in Cambodia, when a person reaches 62, 64, 65, they can't fly alone because they're too weak. I said, I'm strong like bull. You know, no problem. And I think the girl was saying, a lot of bull, you know. They wanted me to have somebody to help me on the plane because I was too old to go. But that I've never heard of before. But anyway, that's something that came up. And then they say, why do you do it? Why do you do what you do? I have a Bible verse. It says, I beseech you, brethren, this is the Apostle Paul, I beseech you, brethren, that you know that the house of Stephanus and the fruit, the first fruits of Achaia, they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That's why we go, because God has addicted us. We're not drug addicts, but we're addicted to serving God. And we want to serve God. And that's why everyone's going up to Soul Winning Marathon, because there's an addiction there that you want to hear. Dear Lord Jesus, I realize I'm a sinner, and I'm sorry for all the things I've done wrong. We want to hear that again and again and again, and that's why I go. Now, I have a heart for Joshua. If Linda and I had number 9, or maybe it would have been 10, I would have loved to name a child, if it was a boy, that is, Joshua. Joshua was a cool dude. He really was. I mean, he did what he was a man. And he there was no nonsense with him. And he determined that he was going to do what God wanted him to do. So I based my thoughts and views on what he did and what he said. But it, basically, I want to share with you an action of faith. How do you have these actions of faith? I heard a story about a lady that went to a prayer meeting, and the preacher was saying, there is a bar opening up next door to the church, and we got to pray this thing down. And I heard the story, this little lady turned around, she said, well, let's pray. And they prayed on a Wednesday night, and on Thursday morning, the preacher come pulling up to the church, and there was the bar on fire. And he thought, whoa, boy, that's a must have been hit by lightning. Must be a miracle or something. And he saw the little lady, and she says, preacher, sometimes you got to put feet on your prayers. And so, you know, we need the faith. The Bible tells us, and go to the book of James. I think we're in James. James chapter 2, verse 26. James says, faith without works is dead. You hear that? Faith without works is dead. And, you know, I know we hear a lot about works, and works won't get you to heaven, but faith without works is dead. And there is no, it can't come back. Faith can only become active when a man or woman obeys God. You can't have faith otherwise. And the Word of God is our foundation for our faith, and only as we obey the Word of God will we be exercising our faith, and our faith becomes operative at that point. So basically, when I look at this, I think about how can I share faith with the people before me? How can I share faith with the people around me? How can I share faith with my children, my grandchildren, and my great-grandchildren, and on and on? How can I share faith? And the fact is that we have to look at what God has for us. In the book of Joshua, talking about Joshua, Joshua told the people that God told him to get the priest that carried the Ark of the Covenant, and they must step into the water. You know, we sing a song about step into the water. Go out a little bit deeper, but amen. I thought my voice went out. Now, these priests. They walked up and they see the Jordan River, and the Jordan River is there, and it's an obstacle to them. But God said, step into the water. He said, step in, and as the priest walked into the water with the Ark of the Covenant, until the last one stepped into the water, might only been ankle deep, but when that happened, God opened the waters for them. You see, sometimes we think that we want to see things happen. We want to see God work in our lives. But the Bible says the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from the waters and come down from above, and they shall stand in an heap. The waters were up in a heap. And they walked across on dry ground because they obeyed God. And what is God telling you? What is God saying to you about faith? Do you have the faith to do this? Do you have the faith to do that? Are you listening to what God is telling you to do first, to get it operative, to get it to be working in your life? We need faith. It takes faith promise to support missions. It takes faith to support the radio station. That's money, money, money. I'm not caring about that. I want to see souls saved every opportunity we have. And I believe, you know, we sang a song just a little bit ago about bring them in. We used to sing that song, bust them in. Bust them in from the fields of sin, you know. And the bus ministry was the key in every ministry I've ever been in. And it's a tremendous opportunity to reach people for Christ. So we all have the opportunity to do that. We all have an opportunity by faith to get involved in security. We need 4 men that are willing to add on with the people that are doing security. You don't have to be alone, but we need to protect the cars and the people and the buildings and all that's here. Just one service a month. And what did Jesus say? Won't you come and pray with me for 1 hour? 1 hour? If you give an hour a month, you know, you're helping our church. And we need this. But anyway, first we have to do what God tells us to do. And he said, step into the water. And if we step into the water, he'll do the rest. The Bible says, effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we ought to be willing to do all that we possibly can. God has a perfect plan for every one of our lives. And if we're faithful and we're willing to do what God wants us to do, we can take that Ark of the Covenant and we can march into the waters and we can see miracles happen in our lives. Now, another thing, when Joshua was told of God to march around Jericho 7 days, and you go around 1 day, and 2 days, and 3 days, and he said, on the 7th day, give out a shout. Well, I read this many years ago, and I claimed this process for our church in the Bronx. We found a building, but I wanted to march around the building 7 times. But if you're in the Bronx, the buildings are wall to wall, all the way around. So you have to march around down the street, up the street, down the street, up the street, down the street. So you have to go 4 blocks around. So we had about 15 of our people walking around to claim this building for God. We went around the first time in it's a predominantly Jewish area, and they'd look out the windows and what are those crazy Christians doing now? And we were holding our Bibles, and we were singing along as we went, singing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." And they listened to us, and they looked out the windows, and we went around one time. They said, "Oh, they're coming again." We went around the second time. And then they started coming out and watching. They were sitting on the stoops or the steps outside the buildings, and they were watching us come by. And then the third time and the fourth time, and we're singing even louder. We're getting excited now. And after a while, some of them started following us to see what was going to happen. So our group got bigger as we went. We got to the 7th time, and we got there, and I said to them, "We're going to give out a shout. We're going to praise God and hallelujah, glory to God. We're going to claim this building for God." And I went up, laid my hands on the building, and we shouted, "Praise God!" And I said, "That wasn't enough." And we did it louder and louder. And finally, we finished, and God gave us that building. Two Jewish rabbis owned the building, and there was a person that had a company that had a lease on the building, and we told them we needed $20,000, what we needed, and we told them we're going to leave you out of your lease if you would give us some money. What are you going to pay us? And we'll find out. It was the great A&P company in up north. Well, sure enough, the man calls me back the next day because they were getting ready to rent that building for almost 10, 15 more years. at big bucks. So he called me back and he said, Pastor, he says, we got a deal for you. We'll give you $25,000. And I'm going, woohoo, man, you know, 25. And then I said, wait a minute, they could do better than that. So I said, man, I couldn't give that to my people. They would be so offended by that. I just couldn't do it. It would be an insult to my people, $25,000. We need a lot more than that. So he said, let me talk to my people. He talked to his people, and we prayed to God. And sure enough, he came up with $37,000. So we had enough money to buy it, to put the down payment on, remodel the building, and pay the mortgage for a year in advance. God provided for us. So that's that walking around that building, following Joshua walking around Jericho, gave me the opportunity. So here's Joshua. And the Bible says, and all the people shall shout with a great shout, is what God said. So they went around so many different times, and I'm sure that the people were looking over the walls and they were laughing at them and saying, look at these crazy Jews. Look what they're doing. They don't know how to do right. Look at them. Why? They don't understand anything. Like they said about when Nehemiah was fixing the wall, they said, why, if a fox jumped up on it, it'd fall down. And they were laughing at them and ridiculing them and making fun of them. But they kept on. They kept on walking around. Just as we did when we were there in the Bronx, we walked around and we walked around and we claimed the building for God. Joshua came around that seventh time and they sang songs and they shouted and they gave out a cry to the Lord, praise God! And they when they did this, the walls started shaking and coming down. And sort of think about the World Trade Center, as that the World Trade Center dropped down. This is the impression I get as to what it was. But the fact is that we can see how God worked. I was gonna stop there, but I want to give you one more illustration. By faith, Joshua went and did what God said, and God gave him the desires of his heart. Then we can look at Captain Naaman, who had leprosy, and he was loved of the king, and he was a man who really wanted to do right, and he did right by the king. But Captain Naaman had leprosy, and there was nothing they could do for it. But there was a little Jewish girl, a Hebrew girl, that said that there is a prophet in the land of Israel, and he may be able to help Captain Naaman. And maybe Captain Naaman could go there. And the king said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. If you go there, I'll give you a big chest full of gold and silver and precious stones, and you can give it to the prophet, and then he can help you get heal you from your leprosy. So Captain Naaman, the mightiest man in the army, got there, and when they came up to the house where the prophet lived, he sent one of his soldiers in, and the soldier said, whoa, a man came out and said, this is what the prophet said that he should do. He said, well, I didn't even tell you what he wants yet. He said, God told him. And he said, he needs to dip himself in the dirty, filthy water seven times. And if he does this, this is what God wants. If he does this, he will be healed. And sure enough, Captain Naaman turned around and he went into his soldiers. I picture them all lined up on their horses and watching, and they respect him, and he's going to go and put himself. He said, I can't do that. You don't know who I am. And one of his soldiers said to him, hey, wait a minute. What if he said, give him all the gold and jewelry and all that stuff? Would you have given that to him to be healed? And he said, well, sure. He said, but he's not asking for that. He's asking for you to trust God and go into the water. And he said, if you do this, the prophet will help you. And sure enough, he stepped into the water. Can you imagine him going down the first time and in his complete uniform, dipping down in the water and coming back up and looking at his skin, and the leprosy is still there. And then the second time and the third time and the fourth time. The fifth time, he might have been thinking, I'm going to kill that prophet. And then finally, the sixth time, the seventh time, he goes under and comes up with skin like a baby. God took away the leprosy. Faith. If we do what God tells us to do, he will give us the ability to have the faith that we need. The man with the withered arm, Jesus said to him, stretch forth your arm. That's Bronx talk. Thy arm, okay? Stretch forth your arm. And he might have said, hey, Lord, this arm hasn't moved. It doesn't move. And Jesus said, stretch forth your arm. And he took that arm and he stretched forth, and God healed him. Why? Because he took the step that God told him to. Simple thing. A simple thing. But we have to step first. We have to step in the water. We have to walk around the wall. We have to stretch forth our arm. We have to be willing to do what God wants us to do. It may seem silly at the time, but God will answer our prayers, and God will give us what we need, whatever it may be, whether it's a city of Jericho, no matter what, God will provide and supply all our needs. I've watched, Linda and I have been, we got saved the same day. We've been saved for 50 something years, and we got baptized the same day, and everything just seemed to fall into place for us. But we were able to raise 8 children on nothing, but God supplied and provided. You know, we've never been limited in any way. God has always gave us a place to live and food on the table and take care of our children. And we've seen the miracle. It hasn't been easy, but at the same time, we were doing what God told us to do. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. But you know, there's something else. You may be here today, and you have never trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Now, I don't know everybody here. I know some of you, but I don't know everybody, and I don't know whether you are genuinely saved or not. But the fact is that 57 years ago, I bowed my head and I prayed a simple sinner's prayer. I said, Dear Lord Jesus, I realize that I am a sinner, and I'm sorry for all the things that I've done wrong. Forgive me of my sin and take me to heaven when I die. And I prayed that prayer in the name of Jesus, and he saved me, forgave my sins, took my sins as far away as east is from west. He buried them in the deepest part of the sea where they'll never be brought before me again. He saved me. And I have that peace. So don't you worry, people that ask me. Well, I worry about crossing the street in Cambodia. I had Linda by the hand going across the street, and I said to her, don't look, close your eyes. And she said, but they're everywhere. The motorcycles on the sidewalk and everything. I said, just take my hand and close your eyes. And I walked her across the street. Everybody stopped for us, and we were able to get through. But we have to. Sometimes we're afraid. Sometimes we have fears. But we know that God will watch over us and protect us. But the key is that salvation is yours for the asking. You know, I could tell you, hey, I'll give you this Bible. It'd be yours as a gift. But all you have to do is reach out and accept it. It'll never be yours unless you reach out and accept it. Same thing with salvation. It will never be yours unless you trust Jesus as your Savior. Reach out and accept him. Now, I don't know. There may be one person here today that God's dealing with your heart. And if he is dealing with you, why not get it settled tonight? You know, heaven. We sing a song, Heaven is a Wonderful Place. And I'm going there. You know, when I got on the plane to go to Cambodia, they said, can I see your ticket? I had a ticket. I showed them the ticket, and I got on the plane. I get to heaven, they say, where's your ticket? Jesus saved me. Amen. That's good enough. Come on in. You know, we were blessed this trip. This was a great time, and it's all because of you. We could not go there if y'all didn't help us, and you help us time and time again. And your footprints, your fingerprints are on each person, each soul that gets saved over there. That's what missions is all about. And we need to be serious about missions. Some of you men here and ladies, you need to be serious and pray about missions. Don't say, oh, it's for someone else. It may be for you. You may be the one. Let's bow our head for a word of prayer. Father, we come to you and I ask you humbly, Lord, to hear our prayer. Lord, I know that the scripture is very clear and tells us we have not because we ask not. But Lord God, I pray that you'll help us, Lord, to be committed to you. We pray for these young people that will be going up soul winning, and that they'll see a harvest of souls out of this trip. That not just a trip to go and have fun, but a time to see souls saved. I pray, Lord God, for your guidance. I pray for your direction, and Lord, I pray that if there is one here that's never trusted Jesus as their Savior, that this could be the day of salvation for them. For I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.